When Brother Doug asked me to take part in this series that he had planned, I was honored. And then he told me what verses that I would be given to speak about. And I read those verses and I thought, well, good, this sermon will be about 5 minutes long. And then I got to studying and realized that I probably would be about an hour long. So this sermon is somewhere between 5 minutes and 1 hour. We'll see where it comes out at, okay? I'm just kidding. If I'm still talking in an hour and you're still here, I'll be very disappointed in you, okay? If you will, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 as we continue. I've really enjoyed hearing the other speakers, especially last week. Brother Wade did a great job, and I appreciate all of the work that these guys have done. But 1 John chapter 2, and will you stand with me as we read, beginning in verse number 18, and we're going to read down to verse number 23. Again, this is John writing this. It's one of his first general epistle. He was an apostle. Beginning in verse number 18, it says, "Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also." As we go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Bryce Gunter, will you word our prayer for us, please? In. You may be seated. You've no doubt heard the term or the phrase, "all that glitters is not gold." You may not know where it came from. We know what it means, and it's actually derived from a line in William Shakespeare's play, A Merchant of Venice. And it means that not everything that looks precious or true is necessarily so. Often it is not. There are many, many fakes around us. Many deceptions around us. We see financial deception going on. We've had news in past years of major deceptions in financial news. Ponzi schemes that collapsed and things that are too good to be true. And I want to caution you, if you ever are tempted by any kind of financial scheme or something that just seems too good to be true, that ought to be your first clue to stay away from it. Okay? There's nothing free in this world. We also have personal deception. People who turn out to be maybe not who they portray themselves to be. In relationships, how many times have we known people start to date someone else, and after a while it comes out that they're not who they thought they were? Or maybe someone gets married and you enter into a marriage, and after you've married this person, you find out you've married someone who, you know, is maybe wicked. It's kind of like a Lifetime movie theme if you watch any of those, you know. So a lot of personal deception. A lot of people are not who they say they are, or not who they try and act like they are. But the most important, and the one that we're going to focus on today, is John's warning of spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. Again, it is the most dangerous that we need to be aware of here in 2022 as members of the kingdom of God and members of His church. First of all, John starts off and he said, children, it is the last hour. Even in John's day, John knew that time was short. And he wrote this letter some 2,000 years ago. And so we understand that if it was true in John's day, how much more true is it today that time is drawing near? I look at the news and things that are going on every day and I think, man, Lord, come on back. I can remember being younger and thinking, I'm not ready for the Lord to come back. I'm saved, but there's things I want to do. The older I get, the more I am ready for the Lord to come on back. And I believe that we are indeed living in the last days. We also can look around and we find that as he wrote here, he said, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, there are many images and things that come to mind when we think of the word Antichrist. We probably, the first thing that comes to mind is that what we know from Scripture of that wicked leader that will be on the scene during the last days. He is known as the boastful king of Daniel chapter 7. He is known as the king who sets up the abomination of desolation, recorded in Mark 13 and again in Daniel chapter 9. The rider of the white horse, as recorded in Revelation chapter 6. Also, he's known as the first beast up out of the sea, recorded in Revelation chapter 13. I know in my class in Sunday school, we have gone through a series of studies in Daniel and in Revelation. I know Dee's class did the same thing as they looked at the end times. And it's very interesting to look at all of that and all of the revelations and things concerning the Antichrist. But listen, I'm going to throw something in free for you tonight. It's not part of what I had planned, but I'm going to throw this in. It won't cost you extra or anything, okay? But I want you to understand this. When thinking about the Antichrist, it's interesting to study. It's interesting to search the Scriptures. But I want you to understand that the Antichrist is not the one that you and I should be worried about if we are children of God. Okay? Understand that. There's a lot of people who have spent a lot of time watching the news and trying to figure out, in this day and age, who the Antichrist is. I can tell you, because of two things, I want you to understand that you need not worry. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you need not worry about who that Antichrist is. First of all, because if I understand Scripture correctly, and I'm not an expert on end time prophecy, but I've done enough study in it, and I am absolutely convinced, and you will not ever convince me otherwise, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the saints in the church. Therefore, if I am raptured at the rapture at pre-tribulation, then it means that I am not even going to be here when the Antichrist rises to power. That's the first thing that I want you to understand. So I'm not worried about who it might be. I'm not going to spend any time trying to figure out who the world players are today that might be the Antichrist. The second reason is that even if I was wrong, which I'm not, but even if I was, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I cannot accept the mark of the beast. Okay? A lot of people, and listen, I don't want to get into a scientific, political argument. I haven't taken the vaccine, but me not taking the vaccine has nothing to do with Scripture. There's a lot of people who said, I'm not going to take that vaccine because that may be the mark of the beast. They're putting a chip in us, and that's the mark of the beast. Have no fear. Taking the mark of the beast will be an overt, willful action of obedience to the Antichrist. A child of God cannot accidentally take the mark of the beast. Okay? So understand that. This Scripture is not about the Antichrist and that world ruler in the end times. So what is it about? Well, it is about the many Antichrists that he speaks of here in verse number 18. Look at this again. He says, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And he says here, but even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. So he's talking about the many Antichrists that are already here. He goes on and continues. He says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. So they went out from us means that they were disguised as believers. He's talking about men and women who were disguised as believers, who were around the church. They may have even been members of the church, but they weren't true believers. But they were disguised as believers. And he says they went out from us, meaning that they left. They were pretenders. They were trying to deceive, with the intent to deceive the elect. They went out so that it would be revealed that they were never of us. Because if they had been of us, they would have known the truth and they would have stayed with us. Listen, there are many antichrists out there in the world today. There are many people who are doing works in the name of Christianity that God has nothing to do with. And you need to understand that. For some, it is simply a business. It is a way to make money. And they are making money in the name of Jesus Christ, and they do not know Christ as their Savior. But they have deceived many people. There are people who will run to that and rush to that because they are people who are telling them what they want to hear. The Scripture tells us that in the last days they'll gather themselves teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. The world today does not want to hear the gospel, the truth. The world wants you to tell them that their sinful lifestyle, the things that they want to do, the very things that separate them from Christ, is okay. You're okay. You're doing fine. Just keep doing what you... God loves you. It's true, but as Brother Doug said this morning, God loves the sinner, but He hates that sin. It is an abomination to Him. And so John says, they went out from us because they were pretenders. It's the same men that Paul warned against in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, when he wrote, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." No wonder. "For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." And to the church at Ephesus, over in Acts chapter 20, Paul said this. He said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." We're not talking about people who are doing things to draw away the world. Satan already has the world. He wants to draw away Christians in the church. He wants to draw you into error. He wants to lead you down the wrong path. Paul said, these are the ones that you're going to have to worry about. These are the ones that you need to look out for. Because after I'm gone, he was saying these words as he was preparing to leave Ephesus during his missionary journey. He says, when I leave, I know that these men are going to come around. And we know that they did. Paul wrote several parts of his letters to try and correct doctrine of men who had come in behind him and were trying to teach things that were not of Scripture. And then he goes on here in verse number 20 and he reminds us of our holy anointing. Verse 20, "But you," talking to the saints, that's you and I, "have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." What does he mean? This is the same anointing that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. He wrote these words. He says, "Now He who establishes us in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us. And He gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." You get that? A couple things here. The Holy One, God, anointed us. That's me. That's you. We are anointed by God Himself. And He gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So we have an anointing from God that is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Understand that. Every believer, every true believer, has the Holy Spirit inside and this anointing from God. In John, he wrote over in his gospel in chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, he says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you." So in other words, because of this anointing, we have the capacity to know truth. You understand that? Now, it doesn't say that you will automatically know truth. It says you have the capacity, you have the ability to know what truth is because of the Holy Spirit. So many people in the past that I've witnessed to, maybe at work or wherever, they say, "Well, there's so many things that I don't understand about Scripture." And the first thing that you've got to get a person that says that to understand is there's only one thing that they need to know at that point in their life. For a lost person, there is only one thing in Scripture that they need to understand, and that is that Jesus Christ loves them, that they are a sinner, that they are doomed to hell as a consequence of their sin, and the only way that they can rectify that is through the blood of Jesus Christ and accept Christ as their Savior, and then they have everlasting life. That's the only thing they need to know. There are so many people who want to start off looking at the Bible in Revelation and they're not even saved. Revelation is not the place to start for someone that is not saved. You've got to start at the cross. We can start off, we can look at all the other stuff later on. You need to be saved, first of all. There is nothing in the depths of Scripture that you will understand until you have that anointing, until you have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then you move on from that. Once you are saved and you have this indwelling, then you have the ability, you have the ability and the capacity to understand the truth. And then in verse number 21, he reminds us, he says in verse 21, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth." I said to start this out, there are many, many things going on in this world. There are many deceptions. There are many fakes. But because of who you are and the relationship that you have with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to discern what is truth and what is not. And you need to understand that. How do I get there? You get there by studying the Word of God. Don't expect, it's not going to just come down upon you. I said you have the capacity. If you'll dig into the Scripture, you have the capacity to understand many things in Scripture. Now make no mistake, you're not going to know it all. You can spend the rest of your life studying the Bible, you will not ever learn it all. Even Paul himself, who wrote part of Scripture, said, I will never get to that place where I know it all. I'm paraphrasing. I will never get to that place where I will not be reaching for the mark of better knowledge of Christ, a better relationship with Him, and understanding more Scripture. But so many times people get they get disillusioned because they figure out that understanding the Word of God requires that you do what? Study the Word of God. It will not come automatically. It is not easy, remember, but you have the capacity to understand Scripture if you'll get into Scripture. That's why at this church we put a very important priority on our Sunday school or our small group Bible study, as we call it now. We put a high priority on Awana, teaching kids Scripture. We encourage you in your daily devotionals to study the Scripture. I've said this many, many times, and you're probably tired of hearing me if you've heard me speak before, but I believe it with all my heart that if the only time that you're opening your Bible to study Scripture is when we show up here on Sunday mornings, maybe on Sunday night, maybe on Wednesday night, if that's the only time you're opening the Scripture, spiritually speaking, you are starving to death for the Word. I promise you, God has revealed more to me in Scripture outside of the walls of the church than He has inside. I'm not saying that I've not had great teachers, great preachers, and I've learned a tremendous amount from all of them. But it seems like the most learning that I do is the learning that I do as I study the Scripture myself and read for myself. You need to know what Scripture says. You need to know and be able to recognize what truth is. Brother Doug would never intentionally stand in this pulpit and lead you astray. I know that. I know his heart. He would not purposely ever stand here and tell you something that was not true. But he might accidentally. I might accidentally. You need to be able to recognize and say, hold on, I don't know about that. If somebody, say Brother Doug is gone, and a lot of us are gone, we have a new pastor, whoever, and someone stands up in this pulpit and starts teaching a message of salvation by works, you need to stop and say, hold on, that's not what Scripture teaches. Hold on. It is important that every one of us know the truth. I've said this before also, that a good answer when someone asks you, how come Baptists believe in salvation by grace? Why do y'all believe that? The correct answer is not, well, my Sunday school teacher says, or well, our pastor says. No, you need to be able to open this Scripture up and say, because the Word of God says that salvation is by grace through faith. Can you do that? Can you open the Scripture? Can you debate somebody who is teaching heresy? Do you know? Do you recognize the heresy? Paul says and John says, you better recognize it. You better be on the guard for it. So it's easy to say that John reminds us here that we know the truth. But what is truth? How do we define truth? What is truth? You ever thought about that? We know what it is. We think we know what it is. But how do you define truth? Truth is a fact or a reality that cannot be disputed. Truth is truth. Jesus is truth. The Word of God is truth. Anything else is a falsehood. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. And truth cannot coexist with a lie. We know what truth is. We live in a world right now that will try and tell you, we'll try and redefine what truth is, and they'll say, well, truth may be one thing to you, but it's something else to me. No, it's not. Truth and a lie cannot coexist. It's either true or it's not. We see things going on today where we are absolutely, the world is trying to redefine the laws of nature. Listen, the laws of nature are truth. As Brother Doug said this morning, you're born male or female. There's no gray area there, okay? That is, for all of our lives we've been told, and especially lately with the vaccine, follow the science, follow the science. And yet when it comes to science, that science doesn't fit our narrative in a liberal world, so we're going to throw that science out. And now it's just up to you to determine, folks, that is from the pits of hell. And I want you to understand that. We need to be able to look at what's going on in the world around us and recognize what is truth. What does measure up to the Scriptures? What do we know that the Bible teaches? And then in verse number 22 and 23, John gives us the identity of the Antichrist. He says here, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. There's many people who will tell you there are many paths to heaven. No, there is one path. That's the truth. Jesus said, I am the light, I am the way. That is the only way that we will get to heaven through Jesus. There are not any other name, the Scripture tells us, whereby we must be saved. We are all saved. If you're going to heaven, you are saved and you're going there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you are denying the Father. You cannot have one without the other. That's fact. That's truth. Folks, it is the last hour. I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt. I'm so convinced that I get up every morning thinking, Lord, maybe today's the day. I hope it is. Let me tell you, I started this by saying, those of you who are saved, you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. But I want to talk to the ones who may be here that aren't saved. You need to be worried. You need to be worried. Not worried about the Antichrist. You need to be worried about your soul. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no greater time than right now. No greater time to accept Christ as your Savior than this very hour. As we prepare for an invitation, I want you to consider that. I know that probably most of you here are saved, and I'm thankful for that. But there may be some in a crowd of this size that are not. Let me tell you, time is short. You say, well, I'll get to it. I'll think about it. I'll get to it. Come with me. Let's go down to the funeral home. Let's go down to the cemetery. I'll show you the names of people who thought they had more time. You are not guaranteed to walk out these doors alive. If you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I would like nothing more than to end this evening on leading you and showing you the path to salvation. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this evening that we've had together. We thank you for the words of John and the reminder, Father. We thank you for bringing us to this place tonight and giving us this opportunity to be here. And Father, I pray that the message tonight has found its mark, not by any effort of my own, but by the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here who is struggling with the need for salvation right now, that the Spirit will convict them and this will be the very hour of their salvation. Forgive us of our sins. We commend all the events of this evening into your hand. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.